But today, as we get into the Word, you know, as I was in Effingham a couple weeks ago, and I had gone by Marissa and Rocky's house, and then I had to go over and pick up a part from a store, and I kept seeing these family businesses, right? You know, like Dustin Sons. It's like family business. I mean, I assume that some guy named Dust and his sons work there. Could be off base, maybe they don't, but it's the way it looks to me. Then you got like Johnson and Sons Funeral Home. There's E.C. Baker and Sons Mechanical Contractors. Those are just some that are in Effingham. But then a little closer to home, we see a lot more of this with farms, right? You got like Austin Farms, then we got like the Regal Dial Farms, and you see these farms where a father was working there, and then a son or son-in-law has come along and helped work, and then you see the grandkids start to get involved, and you see this family business. And I remember as a kid, okay, I didn't have a family business to go work for. I didn't have anything like that, but some of my friends did. And some of my friends, I would ask them, like, hey, man, you guys want to play baseball, you know, Sunday or Saturday morning? Let's get together. I don't know if you guys did this as a kid, but we just needed like four because we'd play backwards with a tennis ball from second base, you know, and you hit it over, it's a home run. You just need like four or five kids, and you'd be like, dude, you want to play baseball? And like, no, I got to go work on the farm. I'm like, work on the farm later, you know, like, let's play baseball. And like, no, man, I got to work on the farm. I can't, there's no way I can get out of it. I got to do it. And, you know, for me as a kid, I'm thinking, well, that's stupid. You know, like my dad makes me mow, but I'm just going to mow later. I'm going to mow tomorrow or whatever it is. And then you ask another kid and he'd be like, oh, I got to go work at the shop. And I'm like, work at the shop? Like, doesn't your dad pay other people to work at the shop? Like, why do you got to go work at the shop? Let's play video games, you know, let's hang out, let's do something fun. And I remember I just did not get that as a kid. I was like, this just doesn't make any sense to me. But nothing came before their father's business. Whatever it took, whatever dad needed, we're going to pitch in, we're going to get it done. And it wasn't just that it was the dad's job and priority, but it was the family's priority. They were devoted to this business, and they were never too busy with other things to help the father, right? They were never like, no, dad, sorry, I told Tim I'd go play baseball. He'd be like, well, turns out your plans are canceled for the next 6 months, sir. Get out there and get to work, you know? Like, it was without question. You just did it. In fact, it was the other things that would often be the things that would be given up or delayed, and if I got time later, I'll let you know, but it's not looking good, right, kind of thing. And they never had too much busyness in their lives for their father's business. And so I look back at it now and I can see, like I see why, right? As you mature and you become a father, even if you don't have a business, you're like, I can see it now. This business provided for their needs, and for a lot of those families, it still does today, you know, on to the next generation. And they were tasked with taking care of it. You know, they had to invest in it, often everything that they had to see it succeed, and they wanted it to succeed because the family business success would be their own success. And so when you think about it in this kind of mindset, it makes a lot more sense why they would give up all these other things. And church, I believe this is the same kind of mindset that we need to apply to our spiritual lives and our Father's business. And so we're going to look at chapter 2 of Luke today, starting in verse 41. It says, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Now, before you start to judge Joseph and Mary about how bad of parents they are, because I know, like, I'm like, 3 days? Like, that's pretty absurd. Okay, so first of all, they were probably traveling with hundreds of people that they knew. Okay, not just hundreds of people, but hundreds of people that they knew. Okay, many of them were relatives. A lot of them were acquaintances. And it's kind of like, you know, all the people that you know well enough that, you know, you may have their phone number. You're all traveling together. If your kid's somewhere in there, you're probably going to be like, all right, he's good, you know. And so I'm not too worried about it. But they started to look for him, and they're like, okay, he's not here. This is a problem. Well, they've already gone a day. Now they got to go a day journey back and then a day looking for him. Okay, so do the math there. 3 days really wasn't that big of a deal. But if you're really judgmental about that, then you're probably not a parent yet. Okay, if you're a parent, you've probably done something. Maybe not quite to this level, but I still remember like it was yesterday, the day that we pulled up to Walmart because Marissa had an eye appointment, and Christy and Marissa barrel out like the A-team because we're running late. And so they go in, and I park the car, and I go inside, and I'm like, where's Xander? And they said, that's a good question. Where's Xander? Because he was with you. And I said, no, he's not with me. And they're like, well, he's not now, but he was. And so I don't know how old he was. He's probably 10, maybe, at the time. And I'm like, well, this is bad. I apparently lost Xander. So I go running out to the car. Of course, you know, I wasn't parked anywhere near the door. And I'm running out there, and I get to the car, and I look in there, and Xander has his little Nintendo. He's just like, he had no idea that I was gone. So he was perfectly fine, perfectly safe, you know, but I completely left him. I locked the car too, you know, and at that point, you know, it's probably if he would have opened the door, the alarm probably would have been going off. I don't know, but I locked him in, went inside, but I left him behind, you know. It didn't quite take me 3 days, but it felt like it. When it was like I was trying to run back, but it was in slow motion, and everybody was in my way, and I'm like, I lost my son, you know. So it's really not that bad of a deal that they left Jesus behind here. So let's move past that. It's not the point today. But they find him, and he's sitting in the temple with all the teachers listening and asking questions. And it says that the teachers were astonished at Jesus' understanding and his answers. And, you know, Jesus right here shows us that he has a determination to learn. To learn what does the scripture say. And me, if I was 12 years old and I got left behind, I'm looking to see what kind of trouble I can get into. You would not have found me sitting in the church talking to the elders. Like, hey, Mark, Bud, what does this scripture mean? And let me tell you what I think about this one. I'd have been out causing trouble somewhere. But Jesus shows this determination to learn, and it's the thing we got to know this morning, is that if you're going to be about your Father's business, you're going to have to learn a few things, right? You got to learn the ropes. And in Jewish education, there was a major emphasis on discussing problems. So that's why when they say that he was asking questions, but then that they were amazed at some of his answers, it's like, well, why is he asking questions and answering questions? But there was some discussion going on there, and they were amazed at 12 years old what this boy knew. Verse 48 goes on to say that when his parents saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? He says, I must. And when you think about this word must, it means that you are bound to something. It means you have to do it. It means at this point you basically don't have an option. You're committed to it, bound to it. It's something I must do. Jesus was bound to his father's business. It was something he must do, something he was bound to, and at 12 years old, he understood a few things that we see in this picture. He understood who he was, first of all. Then secondly, he understood what his purpose was. And third, he understood what his priorities were. So Jesus knew who he was. His mother says, "Your father and I have sought you anxiously." And Jesus' response to that wasn't, "Oh, my bad, sorry about that." It was, "I must be about my father's business." See, here he had this earthly father, Joseph, but he knew who he was. My father's business, right? He's declaring here that he is the son of God and that relationship comes first. And while Joseph was a carpenter, and in that day, you know, pretty much everybody followed the family trade. Everything was a family business, so that there's a good image there. People would have followed this family business, but Joseph was the carpenter. Jesus, we know, worked for him, and in Mark it talks about Jesus having worked as a carpenter. I imagine as a 12-year-old, he would have done some of that work already, but he didn't find his identity in carpentry. That's just what he did. It's not who he was. You guys realize that you are not necessarily what you do, right? Those are separate things. So do you know who you are? You know, for us today, that question comes down to, are you a child of God? See, contrary to what most of the world teaches, and unfortunately even a lot of churches teach, that is not an inherited right to be a child of God, but that is only by faith in Jesus, right? We're all God's creation. We are not all God's children. Don't ever put that on Facebook again, that we're all God's children. It's a lie. It's not true. We're only children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. John 1:12, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's how you get the right to become a child of God. It's because you receive Jesus, you believe in him. Galatians 3:12 also tells us, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's the only way. That's the way you become a son or a daughter of God. So are you a child of God? A question to contemplate this morning is, have you chosen the one who has chosen you? And so I'm not getting into, you know, predestination and election and all that crazy stuff. I just want you to simply think about this one line. Have you chosen the one who has chosen you? And to help you understand that a little more, right? A man can choose a woman to be his bride. We're going to say in America, right? A man can choose a woman to be his bride, but doesn't the woman have to choose the man? Doesn't she also have to say yes? Doesn't she have to receive his offer, right? When he gets down on that knee and gets that ring out, she's not required to do it, but she has a choice. Do I want to? Do I not? Think about it like that. Have you chosen the one who has chosen you? God has chosen you, right? Jesus died for the sins of the world. What does that mean? That means everybody. He's chosen everybody, but not everybody chooses him back. Not everybody reciprocates that decision and that love. So Jesus knew who he was. And the question is, do we know who we are? Because if our foundation of who we are is not by our faith in Christ, if our foundation is that, man, my identity is wrapped up, I very, very rarely ever introduce myself as Pastor Tim. Now, if you want to introduce me to somebody as, this is Pastor Tim, this is my pastor, whatever, I'm fine with that. I don't do it. Do you know why? Because that's not my identity. I don't identify as a pastor is who I am. It's the job I've been called to. It's the ministry God has called me to do. It doesn't identify who I am. I'm a child of God. right? And that's what I have to, listen, I fail as a pastor. I mess up, I fall short, I forget things, I make mistakes. If that's what my identity's wrapped up in, then guess what? I start to fall apart a little bit, right? I start to maybe shrink back and try to hide and all that. But when I just remember that I'm just a child of God like everybody else, and all my job is to know him, to love him, to serve him, that makes a complete difference. It's a total game changer. So do you know who you are? Are you a child of God? The second thing was that Jesus knew what his purpose was. He said, "Do you not know that I need to be about my Father's business?" Right? He's like, the business. This is where it's at. This is my purpose, is the business. So Jesus' job was his earthly Father's business, a carpenter. But his purpose was his heavenly Father's job, his job that he had for him, which was a servant. Now, there are times in our lives where these line up and they can work together. There's times in our lives where our job allows us to minister. But I want to tell you that that's not usually the case. For most people, your job is just a job. Your job is a way of provision. Your job is a way of making a way to provide for your family so that you can do the work of your heavenly Father outside of that job, hopefully maybe some inside that job. But I want to tell you that having a good job that you like, that you love, that you get paid a lot, but you don't get to minister, does not fulfill your purpose. Then you have to fulfill your purpose outside of that. What is that? It's the Father's business. That's what our purpose is. And how do you know his business? A company that I used to work for, I started when it was relatively small, and it grew a lot, and so I moved from tech to team leader to regional supervisor to operations manager. And a big part of the reason that I moved up in the company like that was because I learned, I'm not going to call him the Father because that's kind of weird, he's not a priest, he is a pastor now today, but I learned the owner's business, okay? I took time to learn his business. So there's me and another guy, and we were pretty much on the same path, and we would constantly question the owner about why he did things the way that he did them, because he didn't do things the way that we would do it. Almost always. We're like, that doesn't make sense. Why are you doing it that way? If you would do it my way, you do it this way, the way that I see it, you know, you'd probably get more profit. Or if you did it his way, this way over here, maybe you would see more growth. But he always did it his way in a way that didn't make sense to us. And so as we spent time with him in meetings and sometimes on the road traveling, we began to learn his business. How does he want things done? Why does he do things the way that he does? And as we grew in understanding, we began to do things the way that he would do them. And when we began to do things the way that he would do them, he began to give us more responsibility and more responsibility, until one day we were the two people that were running the company, and the other guy still is to this day. And for me, you know, it prepared me for ministry. There's so much I could pull out of that and share with you guys, but I want to tell you, this isn't about me, this is about Jesus. I want to give you that example that as we began to understand his business and what he wanted done and started to separate what we thought was best and like, no, we'll do what you want because this is yours, that's when we began to see more and more and more. Do we know the Father's business? Colossians 1:16 gives us another picture of the Father's business. It says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." This is speaking of Jesus, right? All things were created by him, by Jesus. All things were created through Jesus, and all things were created for Jesus. Amen? The last line in that says that in him all things consist. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but when we look at what translated what it means that he's the one that holds all things together. Now, I don't know about you, but when it says that all things, right, all things were created by him, through him, for him, do you think that you and I are we counted in all things, right? I'm a thing. Yeah, I've been called worse, right? You can call me thing if you want. Thing one, thing two. Think about it for a second. When he says all things, we immediately go to things because we think of people, places, things, right? That's what we're taught in school. You got to be in one of those categories. Well, you're like a dual citizen. You're a person and a thing, okay? But when you think about things, you can't just go immediately to things outside of you. It includes you. I was created by Jesus. You were created by Jesus. You also were created through him and for him, okay? So your purpose in life, what do you think that is? It's to live for him. I mean, he's the one that made you, and he made you for himself. It kind of clearly tells you what our purpose is. It's really to know him, to worship him, to serve him with our lives, and to follow the leading of his spirit. It's literally what we were created to do. Being here this morning, this is a good start, but this isn't it. This isn't the pinnacle of it all. Jesus called us to do work for the kingdom, to do work. We're mandated to do some of this stuff in the gospel. We're told that, first of all, we are the ones that are supposed to share the gospel. I want to tell you this morning, me preaching the gospel up here, you guys don't get credit for sharing the gospel, right? This is me sharing the gospel. You don't get credit for it. If you go home and you share it on Facebook, then maybe you get partial credit. Okay? But you are called, and I'm called to do it besides preaching on Sunday morning. We're called to share the gospel. How is the world supposed to know? Right? How are they supposed to know unless there's a preacher, right? Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to preach. Somebody's got to tell them about that. It's part of why we're doing a community outreach, because there's people that need to know. They need to know. Somebody's got to tell them. But we're also to make disciples. That means that you just don't tell them and leave. That's evangelism. That's what an evangelist does. But evangelism, when we're talking about doing it as a community, it means that somebody needs to share the gospel, but then if they are ready to walk with Jesus, that the people need to say, I'm ready to walk with you. I'm ready to disciple you, to teach you, to train you, to help you. We're also told to pray for the sick. I don't just mean you find out about it and you pray for it. I mean laying hands on the sick and praying for them. That's not just for pastors or elders. That's for people of God, to pray for the sick. It means to cast out demons. I know I'm getting deep here. Some of you guys, don't leave. Don't leave yet. Cast out demons. We are commanded to cast out demons. If there's an opportunity, I know a lot of that's scary. I don't know 5 pastors locally within 100 miles that are willing to cast out demons, and that's a shame. I'm serious, that's a shame. I know 2 or 3 others that probably would. But we're all called to do that. We're also called to encourage other believers. Praise God for that. How many of you guys are appreciative of that? Encouraging, you know, people that are encouraging and build you up and help you to feel good and feel better. We're called to do this stuff as a body of Christ, the body of Christ, with each member doing their part, using their gifts and talents, not just to build their kingdom on earth. Listen, a lot of times we use our gifts, our talents, so that we can make more money, build bigger houses, get nicer cars, this and that, all these things. The reason we're given those gifts and talents are to serve God, first and foremost. I mean, that's the priority. It should be the priority. But often we don't do that, but we're supposed to be building the kingdom of God. So where is the breakdown? That was our purpose. Where is the breakdown. Jesus knew what his priorities were. He knew who he was. He knew his purpose was the Father's business. But then look at his priorities here in chapter 2, verse 51 of Luke. It says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them," to his parents. "But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Jesus knew that his life on this earth had to have some balance. He had to prioritize. Now, he was still about his Father's business. You're like, but he stopped teaching and asking questions, and he went back with his mom. Yeah, he did. But he still was about his Father's business. He knew that he also, as a 12-year-old boy, still had a responsibility to obey his mother so long as it wasn't contrary to the family business plan, right? To the Father's business. And so he goes with her. And church, this is where a lot of the breakdown happens. A lot of our problems start with the fact that we're all busy. We're all busy. We're all full. Our schedules are full. Our calendars are full. But what happens is it's too easy to begin prioritizing all the other things over the Father's business. It's too easy to begin to be like, nope, sorry, can't do that today, Lord. I got this to do. My schedule is full. Again, take it back to being a kid working at a family business. Your schedule is clear unless he tells you otherwise, right? If I let you go do something fun, consider yourself lucky, right? But you're going to do what needs to be done first. Now, when it comes to the Father's business, what I'm afraid of is some of you guys haven't clocked in so long that the Father's not even sure you work there anymore, right? He's like, man, they have not showed up for work in months. I don't even know if they're still employed here anymore, right? We have our hobbies and kids' ball games and all these things that we do, but we have to be careful not to let those things become our God. Amen? We got to be careful. Listen, we have to be careful because we all can fall into this trap right here. Every single one of us. But I want to tell you that it's your responsibility to prioritize your life. Every single one of you. I'm responsible for prioritizing the things in my life. It's our responsibility to prioritize these earthly things without putting the heavenly things, the Father's business, on the back burner. Busyness is not an excuse. It's just not, because we're the ones who make our own schedules and our own priorities. That means those are choices that we make, that we decide. The definition of busyness is this: lively but meaningless activity. It means that it keeps you moving, running from here to there and back. You're busy, you're moving, you got all these things to do, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's without purpose. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not fulfilling the needs of your soul and God's plan for your life. It may be fun. You know, it's okay to have hobbies and to go to kids' games and all those things. I'm not saying not to do those things. I'm saying we have to prioritize. We also have to do the family business, the Father's business. When you think about, you know, modern day schedules, there's something wrong with our society when our kids become our boss. That's the truth. When our kids dictate our schedule, and I can't do that because my kid has this, 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 and this. When they dictate your schedule, there's something wrong because you're in charge. You're the boss. My mom always used to say, I'm the mom, right? And I was like, yes, you are. So can I go? Right? But we are the ones that get to decide what we do. And so I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm just saying we have to prioritize. Okay? It's one of those things where We say stuff like, I'd rather be busy than be bored, right? I think I said that to somebody even recently. I'd rather be busy than be bored. I'm like, well, but wouldn't you also rather be fulfilled instead of empty? That comes down to your priority. That comes down to your schedule. You can be busy and fulfilled, or you can be busy and empty. So which is it going to be? If you got a balance in your life, you can be busy and fulfilled. If you don't have a balance in your life, you're probably going to be busy and empty. I know you probably don't look at busyness as sin, but listen, if it's leading you away from doing the Father's business in your life, then that's exactly what it is. Sin. I mean, at the end of the day, it only provides a short satisfaction followed by emptiness and sometimes regret. That sounds like sin to me, right? And so who cares if your kids are the best ball player on the best team in this region? Like, who's going to remember that in 5 years? I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just being honest. Who's going to remember it in 5 years besides you? Maybe your immediate family. Maybe the people that occasionally look at the trophy case at the school, right? Who's really going to remember it in 5 years? Now, is it important that they're the best at some kind of sport if they don't know Jesus? And which one are you as a parent putting more effort into? Which one are you putting more time into? Well, that's an easy question. That's a real thing for us to consider and prioritize. What about our hobbies? It doesn't matter if you're the best at your hobby. If no one can out-golf you, if no one can out-hunt you, you got the biggest trophies and you got the biggest deer heads hanging on your wall and you got all these things, what does any of that matter if it comes at the expense of your family and your church and the Father's business where they don't know you for months at a time because you're absent? Ultimately, what does it matter? What is that going to gain in the long run? If we're too busy to serve God, then what we're doing is meaningless. That's just the fact of the matter. What we're doing is meaningless. We've got to be about the Father's business. This means at church. This means at home. This means on the road. It means everywhere we go. It ought to be ingrained into every aspect of our lives, that I'm constantly about the Father's business. God, what do you have for me today? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, there are times where we have youth groups or we have children's church and nursery and, you know, whatever other kind of ministries you want to relate this to, that sometimes you can look around and kind of be like, are we getting anywhere? Are we doing anything? Are we making any progress? This seems almost like we're wasting our time with the things that we're doing. But the word says that knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you are doing things for the Father's business, it's never in vain. There's always a payoff. There's always going to be a reward for that. There's always going to be growth from that. Something good will come from serving God. And we have to let our schedule, our prioritization, we have to make sure that our life is focused on those things which are eternal. This is the way that we increase in wisdom and stature with favor with God and with men like Jesus. Would you guys stand with me? This morning, we need to know these things like Jesus did. We need to know who we are. And that starts first and foremost with, I know exactly who I am without Jesus. Without him, I'm a sinner, desperately in need of help, desperately in need of a savior, desperately in need of someone to come in and save my life. And if that's you in this place today, listen, that's available for you right here and right now. That Jesus said all who would come to him, right? He would save all who would call on the name of the Lord. All who would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God had raised them from the dead will be saved. And so if that's you this morning, as we open up the altars, I want you to invite you to come, but I also want you to consider the cost, because when you consider the cost, it's this other piece, the piece that everybody else is in. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you really understand that that purpose is to serve Christ with your life? Do you really understand that? And for those of you in this place that maybe you've struggled with that and like, but I got all these things to do in my life, but do you realize the reason you were created, the reason you are here is to know him first and to serve him secondly? And then third, do you know what your priorities are? This is a good time, and it's for me as well, to look at my life, to look at my calendar, and maybe see if there's some changes that I need to make in my life. Maybe see if there's some changes, like, man, where is God at on my calendar? Because if I don't see him, if I don't see that I'm doing things for the Lord, to serve the Lord, then probably my schedule is not very good. Probably it's one that's going to lead to draining me and me feeling empty instead of one that's building me up and helping me to feel fulfilled. And so it's that time to answer, are we really about our Father's business? Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word today. God, I thank you that your word is powerful. It is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord God. And I just pray that today that your word, not mine, but yours, would truly pierce our hearts, would truly draw us close to you, Lord, that it would give us a revelation of who you are and an understanding of your love for us and how great that is. Lord, I pray for today to be that day that the prodigal would come home, that today would be that day that the sinner would say, yes, I choose to believe, I choose to receive this God who has chosen me, I choose you back. That today would be the day to say yes to that. And Father, I pray for those of us that struggle with purpose or priorities, that right now would be that moment that the Holy Spirit would give us that heart check. That you'd begin to reveal to our minds the things that you're trying to sow into our hearts. God, that you'd begin to show us what we need to do with our lives. Give us conviction when we step outside those bounds, Lord God, that you're the one that shows us when we're right. You're the one that leads us to all truth. You're the one that leads us to Jesus and to knowing him more and deeper and serving him well. And so we just surrender it all to you right now as we enter back into worship. And we ask that you just have your way with us, minister to us, and use us to minister to one another. We praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.